Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Of Agents of Mace. Today we're talking about X-Men 3, United, Last Stand, the greatest of the X-Men movies. That was difficult to say without laughing. As you all know, X2 is probably like one of my top rated movies, mostly for nostalgia, but also just because I really enjoy it. So when I heard about the third one coming out, I got super excited. And when I watched it, I was not upset about it, but it was definitely like, oh, what happened? It was so good. And now you guys took this huge story and you took parts of the story that you wanted, and then you compressed it with all this other nonsense and mushed it together into sort of a story. But overall, sort of meh. Sort of fell flat. Especially with, you know, they were doing their early thousands X-Men suits, and everyone's wearing like black and leather and capes and dark colors. And then we got Juggernaut, and he was kind of just a tall guy. And yeah. It was like, oh, that's depressing. So, you know, I'll say my first thoughts on X3 are meh. Yeah, how about you guys?
Man, I think that's being a little polite, man, because this thing's rough. This is not good. Yeah, I mean, rewatching this is just one of these things of like, why would you do this? Because like, I enjoy X-Men, and then X2 is like really, really solid, and this is just such a drop. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's one of these things like, I haven't done the research, but it's like, was there anything going on in the film world during this time when this was created? Like, was there a striker or anything? Because this is like significantly worse than these other two. And we'll get into those reasons why. But this would definitely be kind of like the lowest on my X-Men ranking list for all the X-Men properties for sure.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But, you know, I do always like to quote Mason, my husband, where he says, all I want is a good X-Men movie. But this time he added to that, where he said, this movie is so bad, it makes Van Helsing look good.
Oh, wow.
Which, first of all, at least Van Helsing is fun. I'll give it that. Is Van Helsing ridiculous and stupid? Yes. But it also has Hugh Jackman's best outfit in any movie, and I will fight somebody if they disagree with me on that. So this was like, it was kind of a slog, but at least it was a blessed less than 2 hours long. I will say that in its favor. It was not 2.5 hours like many of our superhero movies have, you know, gotten to where they can and will be. No, it goes quickly. Nothing much of consequence happens. I mean, Okay, things happen, but it doesn't cause us to feel anything because of the way it is presented. So, at least the nothing that does happen is over quickly.
Yeah. It's a good way to look at it, yeah. They, I guess we'll, you know, dive into it, but essentially, they took the Dark Phoenix story and pulled out the first 8 pages of the Dark Phoenix story, maybe, and twisted them to fit in this universe. And then promptly forgot about the Dark Phoenix story until the very end of the movie. You know, so in X2 basically ends with Jean sacrificing herself so that everyone can escape. This movie starts with, you know, Cyclops hearing Jean and going back to Alkali Lake and dying? Like, he finds Jean, she's fine, and then we never see Scott again. Like, yeah. They killed the leader of the X-Men off screen and didn't even talk about it, other than at one point, I think Logan is like, I think she killed Scott. But that's it.
The disrespect to James Marsden this was.
Yeah.
It's just, why? Why would you do that? Like, one of the, like, he is, like, second to Charles, the leader of the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent him to the lake within the first 15 minutes of the movie, and we never saw him again. Yeah. We found his glasses floating around, but that's it.
Right. I wonder if so much of that is just due to, like, the fan base for Hugh Jackman and Wolverine, and, you know, a lot of this movie is set up to position Logan to become the leader of the X-Men.
And Storm, because Storm takes a lot of responsibility in this one.
Yeah. I would say in a way that's fine if it was handled a little bit better, right? Like, keep Cyclops in, but have these moments where, like, Logan's able to do, I don't know, put, they could have really written this really well, like, to do something from some sort of transition between Cyclops to Logan, and, like,
or at least have there be a fight.
It could have easily been that they, something. It's like, not Logan, but Scott is very, very depressed and is not himself at the beginning of this movie, which is understandable because Jean died. And so that could have been why the others are having to step in and take up more responsibility. And so this movie could have also followed an arc for Scott where he's having to learn to let go of Jean as he's seeing her not being herself and realizes that his Jean actually is gone. He and Logan could have been friends, for crying out loud. They could have, like, worked into, like, a grudging bro-ship, and I would have been on board with that.
Yeah.
But no, they're just like, no, we gotta kill him. Sorry, this movie is about Wolverine and also Storm, so... We don't have time in the hour and, I think, 45 minutes that this movie is to explore Scott's story.
Like, I feel like two characters get slighted in this movie. We get, well, let's say three. Three characters get slighted in this movie. Scott is one. Mm-hmm. If they had even just put in, like, a quick fight scene between him and Jean where, like, he realizes that it's not his Jean and they fight and she killed him, I probably would have been okay with it. At least there was some sort of closure to that. Not just he found her.
Realizing, like, this isn't Jean. This is actually a threat. I need to do everything I can to stop it, to save everyone.
But instead, it was just...
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott wasn't a dummy. He should have known.
He's number one. Number two is Angel. We get Angel... And we, like, get, like, a really sad backstory for him. He's, like, a kid, and he doesn't want his dad to know he's a mutant, so he's, like, trying to cut off his own wings, off his own back as a kid. And later, he shows up to get the shot, the cure, and he's like, no, I don't want the cure, actually. And his dad's like, no, you're gonna get it. And he like breaks free and he jumps out the window and he flies away. The only other time we see him is when he like randomly flies over a kid at the school at the end of the movie. And you're just like, why did you give us this like really intense story moments for this character that you don't actually introduce as a character in the movie? It's so weird.
Mm-hmm. It is weird.
It felt a little bit like it was a moment for the ladies. Because he spends a lot of the movie just like shirtless. Yeah, like, there's nothing wrong with me. And we're like, we see that. Good for you, honey.
Also with the actor that plays Angel, like, that was another thing that it was hard for me. Like, I wanted so much more from this character because that actor plays a lot of villainous characters in other movies. And it's like when I see him, like, that's initially what I think of. Like, oh, you're generally the bad guy, and that's kind of like what I expect. And this is something where he could have stood to be like this hero. Like, he could have had such a bigger role in this, especially with the, because his father was like this political figure, right? And it's that was like the whole thing. Like, I wanted so much more from, like, I was so excited to see that Angel's going to be in this movie.
It's the same actor, right? In the remakes, reboots, whatever you want to call them. Because I almost feel like Angel gets the same.
Is it the same?
He gets slighted the same way in those movies, where they're just like, yeah, Wing Guy is here. He fights Nightwing, or Nightwing. He fights Nightcrawler in the cages, and they're just like, they don't even say his name, I don't think. They're just like, yeah, he's the champion. He's fighting Nightwing. Nightcrawler, jeez. And then...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, and no, then we get him again actors. I can't think of anything anymore. Apocalypse, yeah. We get him in Apocalypse, and I don't even think they ever say his name. He's just there. Mm-hmm. They're just like, yeah, that's that guy, and he throws metal wings at you.
It's that guy.
And it's just like, he's a character. I don't understand why we don't want to introduce him as a character. And in this movie, it seems even more confusing because they do introduce him as a character that just doesn't actually have a role in the movie at all. And it's like, that's weird. And the third character that gets slighted is Mystique. She's like a huge part of the Brotherhood of Mutants. The first time we see her, they help her escape from this like maximum security prison transport, and she gets shot and turned into a human by the cure. And the only other time that we see her is that, she gave up the Brotherhood's location. She like turned on them, gave up their location. Done. Never see her again. And I was like, you even make a point to show at the end of the movie that maybe Magneto has his powers coming back. Why wouldn't they have shown at the end of the movie maybe the person that Magneto is playing chess with, their eyes like change to the yellow color? Just something. Like, it's so weird that they took this character. Like, Mystique is a huge character in the first X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. She's a huge, huge character in the second X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. And in this movie, they're just like, hey, yeah, there's, hey, look, remember Mystique? Nah, she's human now. It's so weird. It doesn't make sense, the choices that they made.
Yeah, well, again, this is why I feel like there has to be so much going on behind the scenes, because I wonder if they just tried to keep the budget on this one so low. And it's like, you know, instead of having to deal with, like, paying for the special effects for Mystique, let's just write her off.
I don't know.
And that was a major frustration moment, because especially if you look at like the new X-Men reboot where they're all younger, like the relationship between Mystique and Magneto is there and it's strong, and it's like these are core characters, like,
yeah, and there's no way that he would ever just leave her there, like, and be like, nah, you're not one of us anymore.
It was just like, yeah. It's just like, okay,
see ya.
Appreciate it.
No, he would 100% try to figure out how to get her powers back or give her new powers or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm also confused about why whenever she changes into her human form, she's got a haircut?
No.
Like a really artsy haircut. I mean, like her being blue, that is her natural form. So whenever she loses that mutation, why did it like put her in makeup and give her like a dye job and like that jaunty bob that everybody had in 2006?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, this does not make sense, but whatever. Maybe Rick or Romaine was like, I'm not dyeing my hair or changing the cut for this stupid movie. I'm done. I hate this suit. And I hate all of you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good.
They try their best. They introduce us to a few new named mutants, along with like a slew of unnamed mutants that do... Some of them, I don't even know what they do. It's like there's a guy whose arms can just get cut off and come back. Like, what kind of power is that? And then, you know, we get, like, the guy that throws the horns, and we get a guy that's sort of like a pufferfish. You know, just basic, like, oh, those are bad guys. But we get Multiple Man, which is cool. And I do enjoy that. I wish that we got a little bit more of that, of him doing stuff. But really, I feel like we only see him do two things. We see him multiply, step out of the containment that he's in, and we see him trick all of the people that find the Brotherhood's hideout into thinking there's a lot of people there, but really it's just him. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I wish you guys used him more. And then we get the Juggernaut, who, like I said, is, I don't remember the actor's name, but he, at the time, he wasn't even an actor. He was a football player, soccer player. I think we talked about him a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I feel like that we talked
about
this character. Yeah.
He's
Vinnie Jones,
you know, he's big, but big as in he's just like tall and kind of like muscular. I don't even think he's as tall as Magneto is in this movie. And it's like, he's supposed to be huge. He's the Juggernaut. He's just like a giant, muscle-bound, scary guy that runs through stuff. Massive, and instead you gave me a guy who wears cement as a helmet, which doesn't make sense, because wouldn't that break when he ran into stuff? Like, that doesn't have superpowers. It just makes... Yeah.
And he calls a teenage girl the B word. And I'm like, this is... First of all, that is a joke in this movie. Like, that was meant to be a laugh line. And watching it as an adult, and I was like, that's just weird. Wow.
Yeah. 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 This was the letdown, yeah. This is a character, you know, watching the animated series, you know, one of my favorite villains and one I wanted to see come to the live action. I just remember seeing this, like, this is not right. Like, it's not even...
Even in the
even
X-Men...
with Cyclops, or not Cyclops, even with, why am I stepping on him? Because Logan utilizes him early on.
Oh, dang it. Now you got me.
Yeah.
Tin Man.
Yeah, I mean...
Colossus.
Even that... Colossus, that's right, Colossus. Like, why couldn't they give us what they gave us in Deadpool?
Yeah, yeah. I will like, say it was exciting to see the fastball special, and it was exciting to see, like, a comic-accurate Sentinel head... even though they don't ever really show us a full Sentinel. Like, that was cool. But again, that was all within the first 10 minutes of the movie, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I
also
agree.
Felt like a budget-cutting measure.
Yeah. Yeah, you just see, like, glowing eyes in the distance, and then all of a sudden a giant head flies through the smoke, which is crazy because it doesn't... Like, once it lands on the ground and Hugh Jackman is standing in front of it, it doesn't look CG. It looks like a practical set that they built. And it's like, you spent all this money on this set. Why couldn't you take some of that money and put it towards making some of the characters look a little better, or maybe
yeah.
get
but, I mean,
writer.
That's like one of the rare... That's one of the rare moments, because that was my other big issue with this movie, is the majority of it just looks like they're just standing in a room, and it's a green mm-hmm. screen. And it stands out way too mm-hmm. much.
Yeah, I feel like the issue with this movie was that budgets were put towards the wrong things. Where I feel like practical effects and like real locations were what made the first two movies. And then, yeah, this one is the era of sit me in a green or blue screen room and we'll just CG everything in later. It'll be fine. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know that's worth that. At least build like 50% of the set. You can CG the other 50% and it will look not as bad. But yeah, I think
one thing, if we want to stick on this like training montage for a second, like look at the lineup of mutants being trained in this moment. Like, does it make sense for all of them to be there to fight a sentinel? Like, what would Rogue be able to do in this scenario?
So I still don't understand, like, why can't we get comic accurate Rogue? Like, I don't know why they won't give us that. Like, she can fly. She's mm-hmm. super. Yeah, she's super strong, and she has the ability to take people's powers. She's crazy strong. But instead, they're just like, nah, she's just a teenage girl who doesn't want to touch people because she'll steal their powers. And she does, like, a cool thing, right? Like, at one moment when they're about mm-hmm. to get hit by something, Colossus, like, grabs her shoulders and it gives her his power, so she turns into, like, metal, too. And it defends her, and I was like, that's cool. Kitty Pryde, I don't understand what can she do against a sentinel? Like, if it was like a like some people were caught in a burning building, sure, send her in. She can phase through, grab the people, phase them out. I get it. Fighting against a sentinel, you can't phase into the sentinel. I'm pretty sure they even like make a point to mm-hmm. talk about that. Not in this movie, but in the comics. You can't like phase into a sentinel. So she can't get in there and mess with its wiring. She's just sort of there to not get hit by stuff. It's so bizarre. It doesn't make any sense. And mm-hmm. to your point, is this like a special class that you can sign up for? Or did they only pick this group of mutants to be the X-Men and train them instead of, like, you know, they're at a school full of mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Surely there's somebody with a better ability than to just be able to phase through objects.
Yeah. Yeah. There should be. I like that though. I want to sign up for training with Wolverine.
Yeah. It put me in the danger room.
Or could it just be like most mutants are just terrified and they don't want to fight? These are the
five that do.
Mm-hmm. Or they've got one of those like boring powers.
Yeah.
It's not very helpful.
Toad.
I mean, that could have certain practical applications, I guess. But yeah, a lot of mutations would just be kind of like, well, I'm really good at math.
Well, I'm a huge X-Men fan. I've read tons of X-Men comics, and there are some in the newer comics that don't make sense. There's one guy that's just you can see his bones and his whole body is like jelly.
Ew.
Yeah. And he's an X-Man. Like, he's one of the ones that like fights with them. And it's like, what help do you bring to this?
It sounds like a liability. They're like, we've got to protect this man. He's very, very vulnerable.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't understand the thought process of having him join, but not picking somebody with maybe a better power.
He would be one of those mutants, like in this movie, Rogue really wants the cure because she feels like her power is dangerous to others and is affecting like the quality of life for her. And I feel like a jelly man with visible bones would also be probably like, you know what? I also am pretty into this cure idea. Well, and they're like, there's nothing wrong with you. There kind of is if you're a jelly person.
It's even more annoying because in this movie, the reason Rogue wants the cure is because she can't kiss Bobby. And she mm-hmm. sees Bobby, like, friending up to Kitty. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's her issue. She's like, well, I want the cure because I can't kiss my boyfriend. And it's like, what? Like, you can't just be, like, a strong, independent woman. Like, why do you need to kiss your boyfriend and that's the reason you're going to get rid of your power? Like,
also, she very much did kiss her boyfriend in the last movie. Like, yeah. he used his ass powers to do a thing to where she didn't hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
Or not something. Good enough. But they did kiss. And, yeah, I mean, I understand you want the human connection. You want to have a full relationship with somebody. And she doesn't want to hurt people. I get all that. But her power is actually pretty useful.
Yes.
Like, for the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. And for herself, so, like... I don't know. I feel like that's another character that they huge yeah. character. Like, she's the character in the first movie. She's yeah. a pretty large character in the second movie. And then in this movie, it's the same thing. It's like, here she is. Oh, she can't kiss Bobby. You're not going to see her again until she's in line to get the cure. And then they'll convince her not to get the cure. But other than that, you don't yeah. see she's not in the movie. And it's like, what mm-hmm. what are you guys doing? You introduced us to all these like major characters and then you just dropped them all for this movie, except for Wolverine and Storm.
Yeah.
Her plot is I'm mad at my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Why couldn't they make her still like Pyro's powers or even Magneto?
Yeah.
Like, the whole point should have been like, you need to work with Kitty. Y'all need to like phase through everything and we'll distract them and then you need to go get one of their powers.
Even if
she could have I was just gonna say she could have incapacitated Jean Grey for crying out yeah. loud. Her powers are like yeah, she could have helped with that, but instead we had to make it to where, you know, the ending where yeah. Wolverine is like stumbling up there because he's got his regenerative abilities, and also it has to be him who kills Jean because it's full circle on their relationship. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, that at least is from the story of the Dark mm-hmm. Phoenix. Like, that's how it ends. Wolverine stabs her and it's like a big moment. But like, I don't understand why she didn't get forced to work with Kitty to help in the big fight. Mm-hmm. And she went with Kitty and she stole the Juggernaut's powers and she had like a brawl with the Juggernaut. And it like gave us that sense of like, oh yeah, Rogue is super strong. Like,
your powers are worth keeping.
Yeah, like, do something. Not just stand in line to get the cure, see a guy with angel wings jump out a window, and then be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't get the cure. Like, I don't know. It's just so infuriating. Yeah, I think overall, not a great movie. It's... definitely clear that they were trying to make a buck off the fans of mm-hmm. Wolverine and Halle Berry Storm. I think the storyline of that they set up with Professor X is kind of weird, and it seems like they may be set up for there to be a fourth one of these movies that just never happened. But early on they hit us with, here's this guy and his mutant ability is he doesn't have a consciousness. And they talk about like, oh, what if we could put someone's consciousness in his body? Wow, that's crazy. And it's like, okay, we get it. You're going to put someone's consciousness in his body at some point. And the end credit scene for this movie is during the movie, we see Professor X get, I don't know, evaporated. And so he kind of dies. And then at the end of the movie, we see Moira McTaggart, who is a big character in the First Class set of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But we see her taking care of the coma guy and he wakes up and it's Charles Xavier's voice coming out of his body. And you're like, oh, he put his consciousness in this guy. And it's like, this makes zero sense. I don't know like what you guys are trying to do at this point. Were you trying to set up another movie where you recast Patrick Stewart to be this other guy? But like, is it still going to be Patrick Stewart's voice? It made zero sense. It was like the worst way to end a movie mm-hmm. and like not get you excited for there to be another one. But put it on the pile of poor mistakes that resulted in this film.
And it's, and I wonder if this, like, was Brett Ratner the, really the right choice? Like, I'm looking at, you know, he's, you know, I think, you know, his kind of, what I enjoyed from him is like the Rush Hour movies. But then outside of that, it's a lot of music videos. And it, maybe it was just leveraging some of that. So the budget on this one was $210 million. And its gross worldwide was about a little over $460 million.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, right? There wasn't a whole lot else going on.
It's 2006.
So, you know.
This was, for me, this was right after, this was right after high school. So this was like my, probably during my in between of getting out of high school and going to college. Trying to remember.
Because really we had this and then we had, what, Fantastic Four 2, I think, came out between this and Iron Man. And then we had Iron Man, and that kind of put an end to all these.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, the first class movies.
Casino Royale came out in 2006.
I think the second Pirates of the Caribbean came out in 2006.
Yep. So, like, adventure movies. Yeah, you had Aragon, Pirates, the third Mission Impossible, 300. Nah.
Yeah.
Did y'all also go to the theater and see 300?
Oh yeah.
That was I think that was my first movie theater experience where they had to pause the movie because of something was going on in the theater room.
Oh my.
Yeah, it was a little wild. And I think they I can't remember if they restarted it for us, but it was kind of early on in the movie. We also had Superman Returns.
Oh, so a rough year for movies.
There was the pilot episode of Aquaman.
Oh,
did that ever become a thing?
No,
I don't. It's like a 42 minute episode. I don't think it did. Yeah, like that's what, like, man, it's wild looking at 2006 and what we had. Oh, that's when Dead or Alive came out. Oh my goodness,
I'm definitely excited for us to be done with this because I feel like chronologically the next three or the next five movies that we have are all pretty good. We still have The Wolverine, we have Deadpool 1 and 2, we have Logan, and we have The New Mutants. Out of those, New Mutants is probably the lowest, but New Mutants is still blows X3 out of the water, so I'm looking forward to not having to be like, ah, eventually we're going to have to watch that bad movie.
We already watch Apocalypse?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was, there was like a weird thing where Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix were kind of like, where do these fit in the chronological order? But based on the website that I pulled the order from, those were before the X-Men movies, so.
I saw one additional note, since we've been talking about like timeline stuff. There's like a moment between Hank and Wolverine where Hank is basically telling Logan, like, I'm older than you. I've been around. I've been around since all of this stuff. And like, but no, like, it's opposite.
Yeah.
Wolverine's much older than Hank. And even like, that was another frustration. Like, Beast was a character I've always liked from the animated series and the comics, and I just wanted more. Like, why? I wish we could have gotten more. I think that was the other. That was probably like one of the exciting things, if I'm remembering, from like seeing Beast in like the trailer. Like, probably was what hyped me up to like want to go see this movie. Because you know, they probably utilize that to draw in crowds, but then you know, just don't get a lot of time with them,
right? Yeah, I mean, maybe with this new series we'll get more stuff. I'm hopeful, but we'll see how they start introducing them potentially with the new Deadpool movie. So, fingers crossed.
if, you know, I think another thing we could hope for is that maybe we will get a lot of these actors that want to come back for Deadpool 3 mm-hmm. to reprise these roles, but do it in a more comic accurate way. You know, what if mm-hmm. we get, you know, the actress that plays Rogue, but now we get to see her fly and have super strength.
Right.
And
that'd be cool. That would be cool.
Like, that would be awesome.
I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Just do it right. Yeah. Well, any final thoughts for X-Men 3 United Last Stand?
What a title.
I don't know that that's in the right order, but I know all of those words are incorporated into the title.
It's a lot. It's, they threw everything at that title, just like they threw a lot of things at this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I guess maybe somewhere someone has a director's cut.
Yeah.
That's like, tells a little bit more better story, or at least like could answer some things. But a lot, yeah, I mean, this, there's just too many questionable moments in this of like, and then the lack of like character structure and bringing in new characters, but we never see them. Mm-hmm. I think that's what was the downhill for me on this one. Just,
yeah, agreed.
Yeah, there's just some of the decisions between like Magneto and Professor X and Jean and Logan. Like, I just wasn't on board.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad, but it's over now. We did it. So join us.
I will say I'm excited because it's been a minute since I've seen Deadpool 2.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched Deadpool more than Deadpool 2, so I'm excited to revisit that one.
Yeah. I was going to say, get excited. Join us next time on our X-Men watch through as we venture into some of the more recent movies that maybe, you know, stand out a little more than this one. But we won't do a question this week. So we'll give you, the listener, a chance to pose your question to us this week. So on our social medias, write us a question. We'll send you our answer. And maybe we'll give somebody a shout out next week.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.